You have to define the season to determine the rhythm.
And seasons change.
We all go through seasons of pain. And you can either let pain define you or you can let pain refine you.
We got a lot of dads listening. Yep. They got kids. What are you doing right now to actually maybe pour into their leadership at a young age?
I'm trying to speak the heart of God into some boys from a young age and speak vision to them. I said, son, I want you to know you're a great man of God. Yeah. God's hand is on your life. What do we see Jesus do? Matthew chapter 3. The heavens opened up, whew, and the Father, the voice of the Father, this is my Son, whom I love, and I'm well pleased. Listen to him. As you hear God the Father speak over his Son, this is my Son. I'm affirming that. You're mine.
Hey, everybody. I'm Todd Mullins. Welcome to Made for More, a podcast all about helping you live the life you were made for. This is a space where we talk about faith that works and leadership that lasts, and how to bring both of those into the everyday moments that shape our lives. My goal is to give you perspective so you can win where it matters most. And I hope you walk away from this conversation a little more encouraged and a little more equipped for all God has called you to do and who he's called you to be. Enjoy today's episode. Hey, everybody. I've got my friend Rich Wilkerson Jr. with me today. Rich, it is so good to have you on the podcast, Made for More.
I'm honored to be here. I've been trying to get on, but you know.
I know.
I keep sending in my requests.
It's a really tight, narrow field we pull from, but you made the cut.
Well, the funny joke about you and I is that we live down the street from each other. Anytime I actually drive up here to West Palm Beach, I'm always like, why am I not up here once a week in your staff meeting?
Whatever.
So yeah. I mean it. So
I feel the
we should
way.
See each other more. But typically, we see each other in other cities
and
other
conferences,
states.
Conferences, like in a green room or back room or on the flat. I don't know.
It's but great. We always have that shared love. Like, you know, we know what it's really about. Down
PKs.
Here in Florida. Yep.
Following legends of fathers that built church and then doing it ourselves today. And you're doing a great job, man. You are a husband, a father of four amazing gifts from God, this pastor of this great dynamic church. In fact, I think some of our team sneaks down there on Sunday nights to go to church with you and get poured into, and that's awesome. And you've got your Mature Me podcast. You got a lot going on. You're flying in and out. How do you do it? I think we're recording this just soon after you ran like a marathon on a Sunday morning, and then you were preaching. Is that true? That same Sunday?
Let's give the details. It was a half marathon this year.
Okay.
That guy, you know, this year we had our pastor's assembly right after it. So I preached the Monday night. I didn't preach on the Sunday. There was a year that I used to think it was really fun to try to run the half and then get done and still preach the 10 a.m. service.
Yeah. How old were you?
That's just ego. Yeah. You know? that's narcissism at its finest.
You gotta live differently if you can like get, you actually do a hard workout every day before you. Headed to church.
Yeah, before I go to church, I've always done this thing called church before church. Yeah. And for me, you know, I love the theme of your podcast. For me, I've always thought about like working out and physical activity. Before it's vanity, it's always about me keeping my sanity.
Yeah, it's
more of a mental health kind of technique for me to go in that day to be awake and
that's
to be
good.
Alive. Yeah. I think we're talking about this idea of more. I think that's such a loaded word, because I'm learning in life that we say words that have an intention, but they oftentimes have a different impact. And words can kind of leak in their meaning. Yeah. And I think the word more is a fascinating word, because when I think back on my journey, I think the definition continues to change.
Yeah.
And every season there's maybe a new definition. I'm in my 40s now, but I think in my 20s, more was all about like opportunity.
Okay.
And like going fast and doing something big and leaving a mark. And I think now in my 40s, more is more about like weighing out responsibility. Mm. And even you brought up Mature Me, like all of that was sort of birthed out of this idea that like probably around 2020 with all the shaking that took place in the body of Christ and just in my own personal life, the goal completely changed for me, which was it wasn't to be the biggest or the best, but rather it was simply to go, I want to last. Mm. And I want to go the distance.
Yeah.
And so I think when I'm thinking about more in this season of my life, I'm going, all right, what responsibilities, what thing has God called me to?
Yeah.
How do I build deep roots? Yeah. So even something like working out or running those half marathons, all of that is just trying to say, hey, body, you're not in charge of this calling.
That's good.
And I'm going to put you into submission a little
bit. I'm
going
to get ready.
So I want to last,
everything.
Man.
Yeah,
and that's why I try to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, come on. Hey, you, let me talk about your kids. How old are they?
I've got an 8-year-old boy, Wyatt. I've got a 6-year-old son, Wild. I've got my favorite child, my 4-year-old daughter, Waylon. You have a new granddaughter, so
I'm starting to feel that.
And then my baby boy, who was the surprise of them all, who's 1, his name's Wolfgang.
Okay.
So 4 kids, 8, 6, 4, and 1.
And you are a super dad. When I see you with your kids, you're all all about them. You're giving your best to them. You're coaching their teams. But at the same time, you're leading this big church, big ministry, lots of demands, coming up and doing podcasts and speaking at our conferences and doing things like that. How do you, you know, I think a lot of times for people, we're trying to find a balance, right, in life, right? But I don't know that balance is possible. I don't even know if it's biblical. But there is, you know, what are the healthy rhythms? How are you doing it? What's the secret? Help us understand how you kind of manage all the tensions of it all in your life.
I think that you kind of just already leaned into it. Once again, words. So balance is nowhere in our vocabulary because it just doesn't exist in the Wilkerson home. It never really ever has. I think I learned at a young age, probably from the household that I grew up in, that word like rhythm and rhythm. I see that in seasons. So I think the principle that I would try to give people out there, and this is for really all people in all life, it's like you have to define the season to determine the rhythm.
Okay.
And seasons change. It's like what I'm saying, like when I was 20, it was this. Now when I'm 41, it's that. And if you can't know the signs of the times, you're going to miss out on the rhythms that you have to create. And I think for me in my life, what I'm learning is that pressure really isn't the problem. I think the bigger problem, it's not a pressure problem, it's performing for people. I think that's where we really, really begin to get hurt and begin to suffer. And so for me, it's having wise counsel. It's hanging out with the right people. It's having people that actually know me. The certain rhythms I think in my life right now are all the things that you don't see in public. It's all the things that you don't put on Instagram. It's all the things that don't work good in a reel. Yeah. And I don't think those are like new things for people, but I think sometimes we neglect the secret place. Bible study, taking a day off each week with our family, actually making sure that not all of my ministry is just public, but there's private times with God. If you don't get filled up, you got nothing to give out. And you can't give what you don't have.
That's right.
So I just think I'm more and more aware of that as I grow. Yeah. It's funny because you're saying that I appreciate the compliment, but like, you know, I love New Year's times. I don't know when this is going to air, but we're somewhat still in the new year.
Yeah.
Like everyone's got New Year's resolutions. I'm not against New Year's resolutions. They're beautiful. I love the spirit of optimism and let's make this year different. New year, new me. All cool. I'm not against it. But I'm learning. I was at our small group, which is a practice of my life. And I've been in the same small group with like people for the last probably 5.5 years. And it's pretty mature believers. It's growing people. It's young couples. It's business leaders. And what was funny is we were kind of going around the circle about like, what's your New Year's resolution? Most of the things we were saying were things that we said the year before. It's like, no, like we're just trying to fine tune maybe the disciplines to achieve the goals that we've always had. And one of the biggest goals for me this year is I want to win at home. And it's not that I haven't ever been present as a husband or that I haven't been present as a father. I just don't want them getting my leftover energy. And there's a difference because you can be present or you can actually be engaged. And I'm not coming at people really hard as another to-do list, but I don't want God's bride to get more than my bride. Come I don't on. Want God's children to get the best parts of me before my own children.
That's good.
And that's not being like, you know, I'm not pitting those things against each other. I'm not like making those things in conflict. I'm just more aware of it going, man, maybe the greatest disciples I will ever have are these four children in my house. And so it's awakened me. You just brought up, I'm coaching football, not because I'm good at coaching, but because I want to be there and be a part of that narrative and that in that season. And so like my New Year's resolution this year is like, Lord, I want to be more engaged at home. And it's not even the word engagement. It really is the word like my best energy, like where your energy goes, your life flows and all of a sudden your life follows. And I just don't want them getting the leftover energy. And that is a tension point. But to me, it's like, let me not perform for people more than my own family. Let me not be aware of what everyone else is thinking about me. Let me go, man, when it's all said and done, what does my wife actually think about
me? That's
right. I think sometimes it can be hard as a preacher, as a pastor. I'm sure you feel that tension, right? Like, did I shake everyone's hand in the lobby? It's like, did I engage with my kid?
That's right.
So I think I'm fighting for those things constantly.
I think what those closest to us say about us mean the
most.
So, you know, I want Julie to be the one that says the best thing about me because that's, she sees the best of me. Not like you said, gets the leftover. I want my kids to see the best of me and get the best of me. And you know, I'm down the road from you and my son is married and he just had his first
first
child, so I got my first grandbaby, so I'm elated. But I can look back on we were in the middle of growing a big church, leading a lot of people, and I do not look back with any regrets with the way I was there for Jefferson. Did I do everything right? No. No parent does. But I don't look back and go, he got my leftovers or he got my best. Beautiful. He got my attention. He got my other things didn't. You know, I never got time to get good at golf, or I never got time to do some other things maybe that people do. But I look back and I have no really serious regrets of that, and so it is possible. A lot of times I think we think that ministry, we're both in ministry. Other people listening there, they may have business, whatever, but we've heard ministry can ruin a family or ministry can ruin a marriage. But when you think about it, ministry and marriage were both God's ideas. Ministry and family, those are both originated by God, so they should not ever compete with each other. They should actually complete. They should actually
preach.
Work together when it's done right, and you learn, you make some mistakes, you get out of sync in certain seasons, but man, when you give it the attention and time, it should complement each other. The thing that we're building, this home, spiritual home that we're building, this spiritual family that we're building for everybody else, it's for our family too. It's for my kid and my granddaughter and your kids. It's we're helping build that space where they're going to grow up in a safe family. So it can work together, and it is possible. It takes a lot of intentionality.
It's funny, we just got done, and once again, there's two preachers here talking, and so there's always something that we're studying and teaching, but we just got done in a whole collection on first fruits, which is one of those kind of biblical terms that you kind of hear, like, what? How do I apply this?
Bring some apples. And bags of grapes to church.
Got it.
What am I supposed to do?
But for me, like, the big revelation out of all of that is that God is a God of order. And I think in a world that is feeling so restless, so anxious, lacking peace, we live in a time that, there's more therapy, there's more clinics, there's more workshops. I'm not against any of those things. I'm for all of those things. There's more doctors. I'm not against any of those things, for all of those things. But many times I think that we just neglect some of the simple biblical prescriptions. And what we see about God is that the thing that actually begins to solve our own anxiety is this word order. And first fruits is about order. It's about putting God first.
Yeah.
But it's not just God. It's like, what's the rest of the order? And I'm learning that if I'm a better husband, I'm a better pastor.
There you go.
And if I'm a better father, well, I'm going to be better for my church. Yeah. And so those things have to come in the right order.
That's good.
And as I put God first, and as I trust the order that he has, peace begins to overflow from my life. And with it, that peace begins to show up. You teach what you know, you reproduce who you are. And so I think you're saying it right. It's like, maybe your issue is not ability, maybe it's priority.
Yeah, that's great. So for like, anybody,
priorities right.
anybody listening, I mean, you got a business you're running, you got a job. If you get the right priorities, God in the first place, and then those people, the people closest to you that God has entrusted you to love and serve and care for, then out of it's gonna flow the rest of the things you need. So tell me, going back to being a father, what has fatherhood taught you?
Oh my goodness.
That leadership did not.
Well, I don't think I have any content anymore without being a dad, right?
Yeah.
Once you start having little kids, it just shows up in all of your preaching. Fatherhood, it was the biggest game changer for me. We went on an 8-year journey of infertility. You know a lot of that story. We've been doing life together for a long time. I also want to say about you that you say such kind things about me in our church, but you believed in me. And you believed in our church long before anyone else would have ever celebrated or seen it. You sowed into it financially. You continue to do that. And so we're just always humbled and grateful. We are following behind what you guys are doing here in South Florida for many, many years. But we went on an 8-year journey for infertility. And, we learned so many things about God just even in that valley. And I want to say to everyone who's listening right now, like, one of the great lessons that I learned is that a waiting season doesn't have to be a wasted season.
Yeah,
even in that
good.
Place of pain, God was cultivating and showing us and revealing us and giving us revelation about God that we never, ever, I don't think we would have known about God. Mm-hmm. Like, we love to preach about God being a healer, but you don't want to get sick to discover it, you know?
Right.
We want to talk about the Holy Spirit being our comforter, but you've never even been uncomfortable to experience his comfort.
Yeah.
And so the big lesson we learned is like, man, God is our reward in every season, whether we ever have a baby or not, Jesus is all that we need. I say that because once you have kids, when you wait that long, I'm not saying I appreciate my kids more than other parents.
I think we do.
But maybe,
we
right?
We were on the same journey.
There's something about the celebration. And so I just think it's God's providence and his planning that we waited that long. And when we had kids, we were in our mid-30s. I think God knows me. And so it was right on time. Two things happened when I had a kid. Number one, I quickly had to call my father, apologize. Wow. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You're an amazing, amazing dad. I'm sorry. thank you for loving me, forgive me. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of it is discovering quickly, like, whoa, how much love I have for this child. It helped me begin to see God in a brand new way. Right. And any parent who I believe is actually humble enough to do the journey right will tell you that yes, we're teaching our kids, but our kids are teaching us far more than we could ever imagine. And I think about Jesus' own word when he says that we have to have childlike faith. Yeah. And you know, childlike doesn't mean being childish, right? Yeah, like childish is immature, but childlike is this place of wonder and awe and simplicity. And so every day being a dad, I think I'm discovering my heavenly father more. I'm appreciating my earthly father more. And I'm learning more and more about who I am. And it's been the greatest joy. Yeah. I just can't talk about it enough. Those kids are my pride and joy, and it's my favorite part of my life by far. I guess I got to say my wife's my favorite part.
I know.
The other day I was laying in bed with Wild, and Wild's, if you met Wild, his name is Wild, and that's on us. We named him that. Yeah. What'd you want? What'd you want, bro? Dad, who do you love more? Wyatt, me, Waylon, Wolfgang, or Mom? I'm like, dude, that's easy. Your mom. You know, because Mom and I, with God, created you. And back to that order thing, I think it's important that our kids know that Mom and I are a unit, and I know I'm raising these kids to release them. I hate talking that way, but one day they will leave this house and I will still be with this woman. But they're just the best.
Yeah. I think having kids and loving them through and then learning from them and God speaking to you through them, it also helps us be better leaders.
Yep.
Because we understand that some of the people we're leading didn't have good parents maybe, or didn't have a healthy relationship there. And not that we're ever trying to fill in and be that, but we know how to maybe lovingly give them some things they didn't have, they need. And it's also made me way more sensitive. Like I think Jefferson's journey that he's been on for so many years and just some struggles that we walked through with his disability and all, it made me a way more compassionate person. That I thought I was compassionate towards people, but after being a dad to a son that had some struggles and I had to really spend a lot of time helping him get better, it made me be more compassionate towards everybody because I don't know people's struggles now. Ooh. I go, oh, you know, I don't know what that person's going through. God help me to help them, help me to love them, help me to be there for them. It's just made me as a pastor more pastoral. I don't know, it's more compassionate because when we help our kids through that, I think God tenderizes our hearts for others.
Well, what some people might not want to hear right now that are listening is that we all go through seasons of pain. And you can either let pain define you or you can let pain refine you.
Oh,
pain
good.
Is a great teacher. And I would say it this way, don't waste your pain.
Right.
Because what pain is doing and the struggles that we're facing, it's creating empathy. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know if you ever like, thrown out your back before. Most days you don't wake up and go, God, thank you for a great lower back. But man, you throw your lower back out, you're like, Lord, if you ever get me off this bed.
Yeah.
But pain makes you appreciate it, makes you be grateful. And
that's
so when you have a child or you watch someone, you know, stumble through a season or struggle through a season, it unlocks your heart. And I think pastoral ministry, before we do anything, our job is to intercede.
Yeah.
And I think great intercessors know how to agonize with other people. They can actually feel their pain. I always love that idea of it. Jesus, before he healed and resurrected Lazarus, he wept.
Yeah.
Before he took authority,
right?
He actually activated empathy.
Beautiful.
And there's this beautiful moment that before he even, he knows he's going to resurrect him, but he stops and he wails and he cries over a friend who lost. And I would agree with you. I just think watching my kids, it's not that I'm some super dad and our home is the most perfect home, but you go, wow, back to me apologizing to my dad. It's like, I had such a head start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid to say that. But sometimes people applaud, like, man, look what you've done. You don't understand. I started light. You don't know my dad. You don't know my grandfather. I'm standing on shoulders. And I don't relish in that to brag on that. No. I more go, that's my testimony. When I see someone missing that, not having a father, growing up in a broken home, you have no idea how much collateral and how much pain and how much damage that is. And once again, the body of Christ, what a powerful thing.
Right.
You get two families in life, your family of origin and your family of choice.
Right.
And oftentimes that family of choice, it can begin to even outweigh your family of origin. And the body of Christ can do that.
Yep.
You can come into this family and we can grow and we can learn together and we can teach. We can We can see purpose in you. We can call it the potential inside of you.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
See, God's family makes up for what's missing in our biological families. I mean, we had, you know, in our church, families that came in, issues, kids that didn't have parents at home. Mm. But man, in God's family, there's spiritual mom, spiritual dad, spiritual brothers. Mm. They come around and just fill in the gap. It happened in Julie's life. Julie had some things missing in her family, and because of God's family, it filled in those gaps, and that's what God's family is supposed to do.
No, it's absolutely beautiful.
Okay, back to your boys for a minute. We got a lot of dads listening,
yep,
and they got kids, young boys, young girls. What are you doing right now to actually maybe pour into their leadership at a young age? Like what intentionally, you're with them, you're coaching their games, but when you're thinking about the future them, the future Wyatt, is there anything you're doing right now that you go, yeah, or maybe Don Cherie's doing it better than you, as parents, you're doing to actually be intentional in that?
Yeah. I think one of the most intentional things that we're trying to do, even from a young age, is I've never really spoken to my children like they're little babies. You got to use maturity and what's appropriate for them to, but I've always tried to verbally process with them, try to unwind things. It's not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm sitting here with my friend JP, who's with us, and he was on vacation with us this summer. He's about to be a new dad. And we were joking because my little boys, I walked away from the pool and JP was with them, and JP's like watching my kids while I'm not there. And so JP's like, whoa, don't run on the pool deck. Very good rule. You know, like, hey, yo, that thing dropped on the floor. You can't eat that, you know? So my little boys go, man, dad, JP's like really strict, you know? I go, well, he's not being strict. He's delegated authority and he's making sure that he's keeping the rules. With me and my kids, I don't have 28 different rules. Okay. The rules that I have is honor your mother and do not lie to me.
Okay.
And I feel like when I get that order right, once again, the other things start to make sense, that we verbally process things. It's not like I'm not into gentle parenting. I'm not trying to come for people. We believe in discipline and all those things, but I want to explain and talk and I want to meet them where they are. I think coaching, what you find out, and even in pastoring and leadership altogether, like everyone's like, you know, is everyone treated exactly the same here? No. Mm-hmm. Like you don't treat everyone exactly the same. You treat everyone with fairness. You treat everyone with justice, but you coach people where they are. There's different skills. Wyatt has a totally different disposition, personality than Wild. Wild is sensitive. I got to be careful as a preacher. These guys are now listening to my stuff. They're like, don't tell any more stories about me, Dad. But I've had to learn how to speak their language.
Right.
And I'm always speaking vision to them, who I see them becoming.
Okay.
I got in bed last night and I got in Wyatt's ear. This was late at night. They'd stayed up too late. We were watching some Disneyland documentary, but I got him in bed. I got in his ear. I said, son, I want you to know you're a great man of God.
Yeah.
God's hand is on your life. Yeah. You're a leader. I don't want you to feel the pressure of that. I just want you to walk in the confidence of who you are. The Lord's with you. Mm. He's calling you even from a young age. You're not like everybody else.
Yeah.
He's made you strong for a reason. I'm in his ear. Then I go over and get in Wild's ear. Yeah. Hey, buddy, listen to me right now. You know why I named you Wild?
Yeah.
It's because, man, you're aggressive. You are loyal to this family. I see you. Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
Buddy, there's nothing you can't tell me. There's nothing you have to ever, I will never leave you. Yeah. I will always be. So I'm trying to speak the heart of God into some boys from a young age and speak vision to them. They got to get that in the whispers. They got to get that from a father.
Yeah.
I want to speak pride. What do we see Jesus do? Matthew chapter 3, the heavens opened up. Woo, and the father, the voice of the father, this is my son whom I love. And I'm well pleased.
Yeah.
Listen to him.
Yeah.
What you get quickly is you hear God the Father speak over his son. This is my son.
Yeah.
I'm affirming that. You're mine.
Did you get a lot of affirmation from your dad?
They could have arrested me and my dad would have said, that's my boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying he wouldn't have disciplined me, but I mean, I would have been on the paper, like, that's still my boy. Like, I've never wondered. I'm telling you, this is an advantage. I've never wondered a day in my life if my dad was proud of me. Yeah. Never. Doesn't mean we haven't had problems and issues.
Same.
But I never wondered if my dad was proud of me.
Yeah.
I never wondered that.
Yeah, there's so many guys and ladies that never got that affirmation from their fathers. And I think it's important, if you've got kids, don't hold back on the affirmation. Don't hold back on, like what you said, speaking vision and truth and prophesying. What you're doing is you're prophesying over your boys, whispering in their ears, affirming who they are in Christ, reminding them who they are. Because parents, if we don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. If we don't know it, somebody at school is going to do it. Some bully's going to do it. The TV's going to do it. The world's going to try to do it. But God's entrusted that territory to us. That is our territory. We can't let the enemy take hold of that territory. So with your kids, man, prophesy, speak over them. It's beautiful. It's great. Okay, one last question. You have a pretty intense job, okay? You got this, you're leading VU Church. It's huge, multiple campuses in Miami. Not the easiest place to you know, build church, but you're doing it, and it's awesome. Lives are being changed. You've got, and you're not just doing church. Like, you are, you're changing the landscape of Miami. You're changing people's lives. You're getting into industry down there, and it's powerful. You're also, you know, a preacher, so you got to preach every Sunday. Every Sunday, you got to come up with another great word. And then if you're going to a conference, like you're going to our conference, come up with another great word, right? And you're building buildings. So you're like a construction manager. You're a fundraiser. You got to raise millions of dollars.
I'm getting tired as you're talking about it.
Okay, so here's the question. You got a lot going on. And people listening, you got a lot going on. But how do you, Rich, not let the pressures of all that seep into your home life? Seep in, how do you not, because that's pressure. There's real pressure in all of that. How do we keep that pressure from bubbling up and causing us to either, you know, be there but not be present, or not say the nicest things, or not give our full attention, or one or two practical things that you're doing?
I think when God's looking at us, it's never like, I don't think God's looking like, can they handle more visibility? I feel like God's always like, can they handle more weight? And I love this passage where it says, you know, live worthy of the call. And that's not to be like mistaken with this idea of like salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. But I think there is this other idea of living a life trustworthy, of going, God, I can handle more pressure. And so for me, I'm always constantly thinking like, all right, I don't have a stress issue. Maybe I have a capacity issue. So Lord, strengthen my legs. What does Solomon say? Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And let's just be really practical right now. We guard a lot of things. We're pretty good at guarding our money. I mean, think about all the things we do to guard our we've all got it in some vault somewhere, in some bank, you know, but like, do we guard our heart? And I think for me, the two things I would practically try to do for someone out there is I would say, God, I need to strengthen my legs because I want to carry more weight. I believe that you want to give me responsibility. How do I strengthen my legs? I would think that's habits, disciplines, right people. And I think the other part is the guarding of your heart, which is what you're talking about. Like, I don't want to leak out. And I haven't always got that right. I'm working on that right now. I don't want to give some canned answer. I speak to a counselor. I've got really trusted friends. I've got great advisors. I've got some places that I don't have to have a camera on, and I'm able to process out loud. And it's a safe place. Harboring your own secrets. I like it how Chris Hodges always says, you'll always be as sick as your secrets. And it's not a problem, you know, that you've got an issue. The problem is when no one knows that you've got an issue. That's really helped me. There's this little phrase that we say on our team, and maybe this will help someone out there, like, because you're talking about the pressure and the weight of it all. I say it this way to our team, you know, don't take yourself too serious, but take what you do serious. Like, I think the call of God is very serious. But I really fight hard to not take myself too serious. And that's why we can do something like the Mature Me podcast and just giggle and look silly or run or do these other things, because I want to show people that this life can be enjoyed, that it's fun. All of that is also triggers for me to go, Rich, this is not about you. God doesn't need Rich Wilkerson Jr. He has invited me in to this beautiful partnership. And he says, I want you. I want to use you. So I need strong legs. I need a healthy heart. And I'm always on that journey, but I believe God is taking us, you know, from grace to grace, glory to glory, strength to strength. And I want to believe I'm maturing. And I want to believe that there is more.
Okay. I close the session by asking the same question to everybody. You kind of already hit this at the beginning, but just going to restate it. How has your definition of more changed as you've matured?
I'd probably echo back where we kind of began a little bit. I think I had a bad definition of more. And I don't know if it's even bad. It just was my
immature,
definition.
Yeah.
I think more for me right now is bearing fruit. And what is that fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. In every category, I can measure this. How's my love? What's my joy? Do I have more joy this year? That sounds so like Sunday school. It's everything. The joy of the Lord is our strength. can I carry weight with joy? I can carry weight sometimes, but sometimes I carry it with bitterness, irritability. You were with me at a gala dinner not too long ago, and I felt I had to kind of call and apologize the next day. I'm like, I'm so sorry, man. Like, I was just.
You said like three words to me the whole time. No, we were sitting by each other. You were like, I'm like, you okay?
I'm like, I don't like this, man. Like, what are you going to say about, we have to talk about money? And you're like, I got it. And praise God you were there. But keep going through it. You know, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What I have seen, I want to encourage someone right now. God is faithful. Like, let me just testify. And the older I get, it's not really me doubting God. It's more going, Rich, can you believe God right here, right now, today? He has been faithful. I started on this journey in full-time ministry 20 years ago, and every step has been epic and awesome, and God has always come through. How could he have done this much in 20 years, and I could still be here today going, will he come through? Like, how much more does he have to do? Right. How much more does God have to bless you before you're happy? And so to me, when you say, Rich, define more, I'm like, man, he don't have to do any more things.
Yeah.
I need to bear the fruit because that's the great. Seed of God's word has been planted and the pressure of the soil of life, the dirt of our life, don't waste the dirt. Like a seed's got to go underground and it doesn't just preach good. It actually is the truth. You're not buried. You're actually planted. I think more for me is, do I have the fruit of spirit?
Yeah.
In the categories of my life.
That's great.
That's what I'm looking for right now.
Powerful.
I mean it.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for sharing your wisdom with us and the people listening today. Mm. We're going to put in the show notes your Mature Me podcast, because if you're not listening to Rich Wilkerson's Mature Me podcast, you're missing out on some great material. Make sure you do that. And VooCon is coming
Let's
up.
Go.
And we always are send a team, and if
well,
I'm
you crushed
in, if
it
I'm
last
in
year,
town,
Wukong.
I'm there, and it's I don't miss it.
And
it
I put
is,
you to work.
It's okay. It's great. It was great. It's in June this year.
It's in June.
And so
I don't know the date.
We don't know the dates, but it'll be
work.
In the show notes.
I think it's June 20th through the 22nd.
To be there. It's a good reason to come to Miami if you're not from this area. And if you are in this area, drive down to Miami and be a part of it. It's great.
Thank you
we
so
love
much.
You. We honor you in DC so much and everything that God's building for you down there, and excited about the days ahead, this new building you're getting into, and it's going to reach a
I think we should just
people.
Join churches, man.
Yeah, why not?
Let's just merge them.
We are. We're
we'll just merge
all right.
Them.